The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to another Monday night here on the Shadows Radio. I am Rebecca.
And I'm Bill.
Okay, so
here we go.
We are going to have all the Skype issues tonight.
Oh,
all of them. Bill is breaking up. Bill is on a 30-second delay, apparently. So
There.
So this is going to be an epic failure of a show on so many levels.
I'm done.
And now Bill quits.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway.
I don't hear it anymore.
You don't hear me?
Forget it.
Oh my goodness. All right. So normally this is where Bill would give us our day of the week and all of our, you know, things. So in the 30 seconds it takes Bill to catch up to the rest of us, I'm gonna say that it's the day after Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to people. It's also some kind of weird wicked ice storm here in Pennsylvania, so that might be screwing with the wires. But you know, Bill, if you caught up to us, why don't you give us the rest of the days of the week?
Yeah, on the internet.
Yes.
National Gumdrop Day.
Yeah.
And it's the day after Valentine's Day is National Singles Awareness Day. So if you rate with anybody on Valentine's Day, today's your day that you are aware that you are single. To our friends in Wisconsin, which is snowy and icy, it's your day. So if you have electricity and internet and you're listening to us right now, thank you. And it is your day. And of course, President's Day. And then we have tomorrow, which is going to be Fat Tuesday and National Fosnaught Day.
National what?
Donut.
I like donuts.
Fosnaught.
I want donuts.
It's a donut. It's a German.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Nope. Yeah, anyway. It's National Screwed Up Day.
Valentine's Day.
You did? Yeah. What did you do?
Well, the police came to my house. I thought it would be, feeling sexy and everything. I walked around my house naked. Called the cops on me and cops told me I got to stay inside apparently when this happens. So something to keep in mind.
Yeah, maybe they were disappointed because it was so cold out.
Yep, laughter everywhere.
Oh, Bill. I wish people could have actually heard that anecdote.
This is good.
I really wish could have actually heard that story. So anyway, I'm going to roll with the topic and maybe we'll actually get some show done at some point tonight. And for everybody saying, hang up and call them back. I've done that now 3 times. So, yep. I get nothing.
Yep.
So anyway, we are going to talk about Hellstown Ohio.
Helltown.
Go ahead, Bill. Take it away.
Okay. You want me to speak? I didn't even bring it up yet. Okay. Let's try this.
Okay. That's not Skype failure. That's Jack Daniels failure.
Nah, it's rum. Anyway.
Oh, sorry.
All right. in here so I can load, like I can load, or you guys can hear me on the right time frame. Anyway, as a dark, foreboding place where ghosts, cults, and serial killers lurk, an entire town cursed and frighteningly dangerous. Helltown, Ohio, the abandoned city in Cuyahoga Valley that fuels the urban legends about a chemical spill and murderous satanist.
Did you just say satanist?
In the Cuyahoga Valley, Ohio.
Wait.
Satanist. Satanist.
Satanist. Hold on.
They were getting it.
The spray tanists. Yep, that's it. What?
So, in the Cuyahoga Valley in Ohio, there is an eerie deserted place known as Helltown. Ghost towns of the West, this Midwestern area is particularly unique because it doesn't look at all that odd. Although some of the buildings bear the features, the rest are distinctly 20th century. The clear no trespassing signs posted throughout the towns are certainly modern. End of. There's not a soul to be found in this place, but there are still remnants of the lives and the former residents left behind, including an abandoned school, which we'll get to that. The town is surrounded by dangerous roads that seemingly lead to nowhere. But it's the church that seems that ominous name. The white building in the center of Helltown is it has upside down cross. And you'll probably hit that five more times during the story. Anyway,
all right, so Bill, you're breaking up like super bad. I'll just say what got me involved
in this story of this town.
Hold on. Stop talking.
Okay.
Yeah, you're breaking up like super bad. So I'm going to read it. Don't be offended. But at least then people can hear the story, because I think I've heard every third word you said. All right.
Oh, God. Great.
So we're talking about a town in Cuyahoga Valley, Ohio. This place is unique because it doesn't look all that old. As Bill said, some of the buildings bear the features of early America, and the rest are distinctly 20th century. There's not a soul to be found, but there's the lives of the former residents are left behind, including an abandoned school bus. The town is surrounded by dangerous roads that lead nowhere. It's a church that seems to have inspired the ominous name. The white building at the center of Helltown is emblazoned with upside-down crosses. The locals all have their theories. Some say the church was a place of worship for Satanists who populated Helltown, some of whom they say still lurk on the closed-off roads hoping to ensnare unwitting visitors. Others say the town was evacuated by the government after toxic chemical spill that resulted in bizarre mutations in the local residents and animals, with the most deadly being the Peninsula Python, a snake that grew to enormous size still slithers near the abandoned town. Yeah. No snakes. Sorry. Do you have snake issues?
Snakes?
No snake issues. Giant ass snake. I want to find a picture of the giant snake here. Bill, why don't you find a giant picture of this of the Peninsula Python and put it in the chat room for everyone, because I'm sure they will appreciate that.
Sure.
Even the old
school. I'll just have to figure out how to do it.
Even the old school bus is the center of the dark legend. Supposedly, the children it carried were slaughtered by an insane killer, and in some versions of the story, by a group of Satanists. Hey, Bill, Satanists. The superstition claims that if you peer through the vehicle's windows, you can see either the ghost of the killer. Uh-huh. Or his victim still sitting inside. The fact that you're laughing a minute and a half later is hysterical.
I know, it's great.
Helltown, Ohio is in fact an abandoned town whose deserted buildings provide plenty of fodder for creepy photos. Or at least they did until it was all torn down in 2016. But what really happened to the town's residents is quite disturbing in its own way. Mostly urban legends have rather mundane explanations. The church does, in fact, bear upside-down crosses, but these are fairly common feature in Gothic-style, revival-style, in which it was constructed. Ghost hunters may have actually gotten a terrifying glimpse of a man or child inside the old school bus. However, they are not the spirit of murder victims found trapped in limbo, but rather a man and his family who temporarily lived there while their house was being renovated. What? Okay, so I'm going to say ghost hunters, while some of them are pretty ridiculous, probably know the difference between a ghost in a school bus and a dude living in the bus. I mean, just saying.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
They have to. Like, that's just common. Like,
yeah.
I saw a guy. I know that that's not a ghost. Oh, wait. So I'm going to say not so much on that one.
Conspiracy.
Unless there was a ghost of a guy living there while their house is being renovated. Why would you live in a haunted school bus? My house is being renovated. Let me not stay at the motel. Let me not stay at grandma's. Let me go live in the haunted school bus in the abandoned town.
I wondered that too.
You want to go stay in the haunted school bus, Bill?
No, I just wondered that.
Yeah. That seems, yeah. There's still some local debate about whether the chemical spill actually happened, but the lack of hard proof regarding the Peninsula Python has not stopped locals from celebrating Python Day.
That's right.
Python Day. Ha! Rock on! Woo! No? Nobody? Okay.
This is terrible.
This is great. I love this. I'm just going to read through the whole thing and you don't get to say nothing.
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to be part of the show today?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is karma for making bad jokes. And also saying satanists.
Satanists.
Yeah. So even Helltown's spooky name is the result of, rather than, even Helltown's spooky name is the result of all these urban legends. Helltown is actually just the nickname for the part of Boston Township in Summit County, Ohio. The residents of the area were indeed forced to abandon their homes by the federal government, but not because of chemical spills or supernatural cover-ups, supposedly. With national concern about deforestation in full swing, in 1974, President Gerald Ford approved legislation that allowed the NPS, National Park Service, the power to expropriate land, theoretically to preserve the forest. So basically, the National Park Service could roll in and go, I want your house, out, and then say, we're going to make a park here. So that seems like a crappy way to lose your house, but hey. The dead were the only residents of Helltown not forced to relocate, and the cemetery is the source of many of their ghost stories. While the idea behind the bill may have been good intentioned, it was bad news for residents living in areas designated by the NPS for new parks. The area that is now dubbed Helltown was earmarked for the new Cuyahoga Valley National Park, and the people living there had no choice but to sell their properties to the government. One disgruntled mover scrawled his own gloomy epitaph on the wall. Now we know how the Indians felt. Well, yep.
That's right.
Why then is there nothing to be said about the large underground building constructed by the government that can be found within the town limits? A completely modern building used for research covering up something they created or lost control of. I don't know why there's not anything said about that, because I didn't know about that. I guess they did a really good job not saying anything. So
this is the part where I wanted to add to.
Go ahead.
Well, since we're on a 10-second, I did see a created documentary on that part where there was three military filmmakers of some sort attacked by this demon or whatever creature at the hidden military base, and they buried the film. Find it. So on this film, supposedly they've seen this creature. So this is just another part of the urban legend myth.
Was that a real movie, or was that like a horror movie? Was that like a Blair Witch Project thing?
It was kinda.
Okay.
Just type deal.
Well, I mean, it is rather interesting that the Park Service comes in and says, we want to build a park here in your town. But then the buildings were there for years. Like, they didn't kick them out on Tuesday and knock the houses down on Wednesday. I mean, they didn't knock the house down to 2016, right? So they were around for a long time.
Right. Hence the cover-up conspiracy.
Maybe they all moved to Oak Island.
Yeah, why not?
All right. So let's look at some of the legends. So once the government bought a house in Helltown, it was boarded up and covered with a U.S.-issued no trespassing sign. The house would remain vacant until the government could arrange for it to be demolished. Some of the houses were intentionally burned as training exercises for local fire departments. That's actually a good idea. With hundreds of homes being purchased in a short period of time, the government quickly fell behind schedule. Oh, gee. In tearing them down, and it was not uncommon to drive down the street and find several boarded up houses sitting next to the burnt out remains of others. To a passing motorist unaware of the events taking place in the area, it might easily have seemed as if the entire town had mysteriously disappeared into thin air. And that's how the rumors begin. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so here's some of the legends about Helltown. So the first one, there's a government cover-up to hide the fact that they spilled deadly chemicals in the area. These chemicals have caused bizarre mutations to area residents and children. True or false?
Don't ask me. I can't answer you.
I was letting everybody think about it. I was letting your natural delay in Skype, you know, be like a thought bubble. And then you popped it. So the truth is that
what was the question?
Never mind. Stories regarding a government conspiracy refer to the area where chemicals are spilled as either Butane Town, Mutane Town, or Mutant Town. The first use named after the chemical said to have been spilled. And the last describing the results, obviously, of the spill. Records show that there was never any chemical spill of any type in the area. These stories are most likely attempts to explain the various government signs on abandoned buildings. However, my thought would be if the government is trying to cover up a spill, the last thing that they would do is put it in public record. Hey, we're going through all this effort to cover up a spill and possible mutations. Let me put that in the public record. Like, why would you do that?
Or let somebody know.
I find that unlikely. We'll put it that way. I find this super unlikely.
Right. A governmental cover up for the satanists.
The satanists might have spilled the butane to blow stuff up. Now I have Carlos Santana songs in my head. I don't know what else to do. I'm going to try not to sing them. All right. So the next legend is around the cemetery. Oh, actually, a couple legends around the cemetery. So the first one is the local cemetery is haunted by a ghost that sits on a bench and stares blankly into creation. That's kind of deep. What was he thinking about? So interestingly, the ghost in the cemetery is always described in this precise way with no further details. Because there's so little descriptive information, it's nearly impossible to determine a story or identity that might accompany it. The home of this alleged spirit is Boston Cemetery, which, interestingly enough, has no benches. So maybe it's a ghost bench. They never said they were sitting on a real bench. Right? Like, couldn't it have brought its own bench from the other side?
Why not?
I feel like it was just, you know, well, if there's no bench, I'm going to bring my own.
I can't answer you.
I noticed. This is kind of awkward. Maybe I'll just do smoke signals. I might get there faster. So, the next legend is the trees in the cemetery move. This legend is another one that appears verbatim on a large number of websites about Helltown. But again, no additional information is ever given. One email the Ghosts of Ohio received claimed that members of the satanic cult caused the trees to move in order to protect the cult's secrets. We found nothing of substance to support this claim. So I'm not sure if it's like a one-time thing, like, hey, we moved the trees and that's it. Or if it's like a, hey, the trees just regularly dance? Because that would be kind of cool. I'm a fill in that one.
It's like a wall of trees.
I know, but is it like a one-time, like, hey, we part the trees, like we part the Red Sea? Or is it like, you know, the trees just regularly, think, like, uproot and go, hey, hey, I'm like going to the store. Fence. Anyway.
I give up.
Yep. Okay. So the next legend is the Boston Cemetery. Boston, you like that? The Boston Cemetery contains the graves of a large number of children who were all killed in a bus accident. Truth. As with any cemetery, there are children's graves in Boston Cemetery, but none as the result of a bus crash. The legend was likely started in an attempt to tie the cemetery to the legend of the school bus in the middle of town. Please note, Ohio cemeteries, gated or not, are closed at dusk. If you are inside the cemetery after dark, you are trespassing. Due to recent vandalism in Boston Cemetery, there is now an area patrolled on a regular basis. If you're caught inside, you will be arrested. Good note. We at the Shadows Radio do not condone climbing into cemeteries after dark without proper permissions. Just saying. Super important to remember that. Also, you might rip your pants on the gate or something. All right, the next one is there's an abandoned house in the woods where one light always appears in the house. Come on. Okay. I'm just going to pause for a minute after every sentence just so that Bill can finally catch up and join in the conversation.
So confusing.
Imagine being the people trying to listen to us.
Oh, God. Help me.
I think there's no help for you.
No.
All right. So there's an abandoned house in the woods where one light always appears in an upstairs window. Truth. There's actually a house in Boston Township where a light stays on all night. It's the local hostel. A lodging house for young travelers. The light stays on since it accepts guests 24 hours a day. The house sits some distance off the road, but it's not in the woods. There are several signs that post direct travelers to the hostel, including one right at the end of the driveway. Interesting, right around the time that these signs were posted, the legend of the lit light in the upstairs window began to cite the school bus house instead of the hostel.
So their house is still there. And they tore them all down.
Nope, that one apparently is still an active hostel, and you can go hang out in the hostel.
Come to the town, but you can stay there in a hostel. Okay, gotcha.
I guess. I don't know if I want to stay in the hostel. I never liked hostels to begin with. When I traveled in Europe, I'd purposely, like, I was like the bougie traveler. I'm like, nope, no hostel for me. Like, the fact that you have to lock your stuff up and sleep with your book bag in your lap, like, nope. No thanks.
Serial killers.
Yeah. Not feeling that one.
Now we're going to get.
Okay. So the next one on the list is the school bus. We've mentioned the school bus a couple of times. So now I can tell you a little bit about, what am I doing here? Okay, so the legend is the whole busload of children were slaughtered in the woods by a serial killer, a band of serial killers, an escaped mental patient, several escaped mental patients, or a group of Satanists or cult members. There's a lot of options there. I mean, if we're going to throw a wide net, let's throw the widest net we can. Somebody killed some kids in the woods. It might have been one of these 95 horrible things. So the bus is still there, although the seats have been removed. Sometimes the bus supposedly fills with the ghosts of murdered children, each one sitting in his or her ghostly seat. Sometimes the ghost of a man, also known as the killer, smoking a cigarette is seen at the back of the bus. Other times, only the children's screams and or laughter are heard coming from inside the bus. Locals have attempted to tow the cursed bus away, but each time they tried, some mishap occurred that resulted in injury or death. Eventually, they decided to leave the bus there. So the truth of this story is prior to the 74 buyout of the town, a family bought a house that was in dire need of repair. Since the house was not in livable condition, the family needed a temporary place to stay while they made repair. They decided to bring an old school bus onto the property and live in it until repairs were completed. In order to have more living space, they removed the seats from the bus. When the government bought the property, the family had no use for the bus, and it was left behind. The local government has since had the bus removed, since area residents registered complaints about a large number of people searching the woods at night looking for the cursed bus. So please note, if you are going to go to the area, there's also a lot of farm equipment, abandoned cars, etc. scattered around the area. In most cases, stuff was just left behind. They didn't want it. So that would be the man and his kids who were living with the renovations. However, I don't entirely know how that has anything to do with the ghost hunters, because I'm pretty sure the ghost hunters didn't invade the area until after the, the buyout. So that he would have been gone by then. So are they seeing the ghost of the man and his kids? Is that how I'm supposed to believe this?
I think so. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Definitely. Sure. You have no idea what I said, do you?
My favorite color is clear. Nope.
All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Shadows Radio here on the Para-X Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Aaron Gillow from Ghost Adventures, and you're listening to Para-X Radio.
And this is Dustin from the Dead Zone.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
just in time for Halloween. Explore the second edition of the Witch's Oracle deck through 45 innovative cards and enhanced guidebook that peers into the world of the witch. The deck's stunning artwork has a new look and includes 7 brand new inspirational cards. Each card now includes a suggested crystal or gemstone to enhance your reading, as well as a magical incantation that provides energy, reinforces the card's meaning, and helps the desired message to be sent out into the universe. The easy-to-navigate guide also has a new look and offers straightforward, gentle guidance that takes readers through both good times and bad. And now includes a chapter on crystal and gemstone divination by the amazing Nicholas Pearson. The Witch's Oracle. It is a perfect divination deck for witches as well as non-pagans, and is designed to suit both seasoned readers and beginners alike. Find out more about the Witch's Oracle deck at www.marlabrooks.com, and you can purchase the deck from schifferbooks.com, amazon.com, or order a copy from your favorite bookseller.
How I wonder what you were. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, twinkle.
Source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Welcome back to the Shadows Radio here on the Power X Radio Network. I'm still Rebecca. And Bill's still there somewhere.
I'm still Bill.
Somewhere. Maybe. So this is, if you're not familiar, this is the Skype delayed edition of the Shadows Radio, where I talk and then 5 hours later, Bill responds. So there's going to be some awkward pauses. We tried to clear it out. See what happened? So I tried to clear it out up and over the break, and there's really not much that we can do. It's something with Skype, and, you know, Skype sucks sometimes.
Sorry.
Technical difficulty. I'm blaming it on the ice storm that's happening, because apparently we're having an ice storm right now that I wasn't aware of. But we are talking about Helltown in Ohio.
Weird. Awkward.
It's even more awkward when you talk over me after I moved on.
I know.
Ugh. All right, I'm going to start now. So, we're talking about Helltown in Boston Township, Ohio, and we're going to continue some of the legends about the place. So the next one is the church. So there's a couple of legends about the church. So number one is that the churches are used for covers for cults. The church is never open for mass, no matter what time you go. There's an evil man who lives in the basement and guards the church against outsiders. He refuses to let people see his face and hide if you try to look at him. A group of devil worshippers own the church. They're always
trying to go ahead.
There are always candles burning in the church, even at night. The church has upside down crosses all over it. So here we go. Number one, if the town's been abandoned, I'm not sure why people expect the church to be open for mass. That does not make sense. However, here's some of the truths behind it. There are, in fact, two churches to which these legends refer, the Boston Community and Mother of Sorrows. Of the two, Boston Community Church is the one that's more the focus of the legends, particularly involving the man in the basement. The basement of Boston Community Church houses classrooms and offices, and chances are that any man spotted in the basement was a church employee, understandably startled by having strangers peer in at him, perhaps startled enough to jump out of the way and hide. The reference to seeing lit candles inside the church at night may be true. Many religious centers allow members of their congregation to light candles in memory of departed loved ones. These candles are often permitted to continue burning even after a ceremony. Mother of Sorrows
church, or Satans.
Yeah, or Satanists. Mother of Sorrows is the church alleged to have upside-down crosses hanging from it. The crosses are actually design elements in the church's gingerbread trim, which occurs quite frequently in Gothic Revival-style architecture. Both churches are listed in local directories, something that would be unlikely if they were affiliated with a secret cult. You can see the listing for Boston Community Church if you look for online directory. In addition, you can see a photo of Mother of Sorrows by visiting Explorer Peninsula and taking their virtual heritage tour. You will find it on the link entitled Main Street South. Both churches display their crosses, however, in a very traditional manner. Yeah, so some of this stuff obviously is just regular old legend and lore. Which kind of like puts it like, really, it's an abandoned town. It is what it is. I don't know. But some of these, like, there's upside down crosses everywhere. It's nice to actually know that there's an actual, like, yes, there are upside down crosses. There are photos of upside down crosses. However, it is nice to know that there's actually like a logical reason why there's upside down crosses. So, you know, there's that. And I'm now going to pause for Bill to finally catch up.
Yeah. Yes. That's all I got to say.
After all that, you got yes? All right. So the next legend is called The Hearse. So the legend says if you go past the road closed sign, you'll find a house in which a creepy man, or in some cases he has a family, lives. The man drives a hearse and will chase you away if you get too close to his house. In some versions of the legend, the hearse only has one headlight. A hearse with a headlight chased us through town. We tried to follow the hearse, but it vanishes at the end of the road. The truth. There's a little bit of truth to this legend. According to Randy Bergdorf, curator and historian of the Peninsula Library and Historical Society, there was a Boston Township family that owned a hearse at one time, though they only used it at Halloween. However, it's impossible to drive past the road closed signs. The gates across the road are locked tight. There's a creek running alongside the road, and the area is heavily wooded on both sides. A hearse would not be able to navigate this stretch of road.
It's a ghost hearse.
Well, yeah, but so they're saying that there was a family who owned a hearse in town when there was a town. However, it didn't come from the road closed sign. And plus, when people say, oh, we drove past road closed, you won't.
It's a supernatural. It went through it. Chase.
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to finish that sentence. Oh, that was it? Okay.
That was the end of the sentence.
Okay.
That was it.
All right, the next legend.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. The end of the world.
That's kind of weird. It's only down to like 2 seconds.
The legend, evil awaits all those who drive the road at night. The road is possessed, and there have been many fatal car crashes on it. If you drive to the end of the world at night, a group of robed Satanists will surround your car and form a human chain in an attempt to trap you there. I'm glad Bill didn't read that sentence because he would have read it as a group of Rob Satanists. So unfortunately for Rob Satana, Rob Satana, there we get you. So the end of the world is referring to Stanford
Rob
Road.
Satanus.
Yeah, Rob Satanus. So Stanford Road is a twisting road with a steep incline. At the top of the hill, there's a sudden drop down the other side. Motorists looking for a cheap throw began driving up Stanford Road at very high rates of speed. Their cars crest the hill, and the illusion of driving off a cliff was created. Consider the amount of reckless driving that has taken place on Stanford Road over the years. It's not surprising that there have been several fatalities. It's unlikely that they were caused by any paranormal activity. Stanford Road is one of those infamous dead-end roads, and cults and murderers are naturally part of its lore. There is no evidence, historical or otherwise, to back up the claim. So there are no Rob Satanists on that road. However,
Rob Satanist sounds like my new.
I'm waiting for you to talk. I'm giving you the talk now. If you start talking, I'm just going to stop.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about Rob Satanist. Like, it's my, you know, new radio name. I like it, but yeah, everything's based upon, you know, the creepy history of a abandoned town. So there's always stories, and it's really cool. I would love to go there and, you know, just walk around it, even though there's not many houses or anything, but it's always really cool. But, you know, there's no, you know, showing this town as a haunted town, but, you know, it's like, I think every area has their own small town that they say, and, you know, people like to creep in. So I think it's really cool, even though it's not true.
Yeah. And I think, as one of these comments said, was that a lot of the stuff got torn down in 2016. So you can still head through the area, and there's still a few things that are available and open, but for the most part, all of the creepy buildings are kind of gonna go. They're not there anymore for you to experience. Yeah. Well, like, for example, in New Jersey, we have Midgetville, supposedly, which was the town that's really tiny. And if you drive through it as a regular person, you get chased by little tiny people. And not just like, you know, vertically challenged people, like tiny people, like think like Lilliputian kind of tiny. Supposedly, at least that's the version I heard. I'm sure there's many different versions, but I also heard a version where Midgetville was a bunch of retired circus performers and actors who kind of collected together, and they made everything a smaller scale. Yeah. And of course, every time somebody's like, oh, I know where it is. It's on, you know, left, right, upside down, and, you know, spin around three times by the tree and you get there, you know, and then somebody's like, that's not where it is. It's over here. So,
right.
It's one of these kind of places.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but this one actually exists. You can drive through this place. You can Google map it if you want to. So another awkward road here is the Highway to Hell. So a serial killer with an axe supposedly has been butchering motorists who travel the Highway to Hell at night. Police are unable to apprehend him. So the truth is that this road is actually the same one that takes motorists to the end of the world. The Highway to Hell legend is a classic example of how urban legends form. They start with a harmless activity, like people driving up and over a big steep incline, add some tried and true horror movie elements, and then give the place a creepy name, and it forms the perfect urban legend. So I don't think anybody's actually been hacked to death on the Highway to Hell. But
this place is a busy town.
It really is. They got all the things. You name it, they got it.
Yeah.
I fell out of my chair. Hold on. I was so excited by the Highway to Hell, I just plopped down on the floor. All right. So, more legends. Scrolling. So the next one is Dead End Roads here.
There's lots of them.
Yeah. Apparently this is a very popular thing here. Is if you go past road closed signs in Helltown to the end of a dead end street, you will find a creepy cemetery. There are two roads that dead end for no reason. The roads both continue. The Satanists put up road closed signs to keep you from going down to their secret hideouts. I feel like that's the theme to Batman, right? Isn't the original 50s Batman, they come out of a road closed sign and it drops down and they come out of the secret Batcave, right? Am I the only one that remembers that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So the truth of this is that Boston Cemetery sits at the end of Main Street, a paved road without any road closed signs on it. Driving down Main Street towards the cemetery is very much like coming to the end of a street in a subdivision. Road simply ends at the entrance to the cemetery. Stanford Road has two road closed signs on it, as photos show. The road does continue past the signs, however, they're closed, hence the road closed signs. When Stanford Road was in full operation, it cut through several townships. Over time, a portion of the road reached such a state of disrepair that traveling on it was declared unsafe. Sagamore Hills and Northfield Center Township each own a portion of Stanford Road and were both asked to make the necessary repairs to the road. No one was willing to bear the financial burden of bringing that portion of the road up to code, so they closed it. In order to successfully close the damaged sections, barricades and road closed signs were placed at both ends, effectively creating the dead-end streets. In fact, there are two places more Stanford Road dead ends into road closed signs, along with abandoned houses that dot the landscape, which, of course, builds its own horror movie-type setting.
Right.
I feel like that one is a little annoying because there are road closed signs all over the place. A dam goes out and they close the road. Yes, the road still exists past the sign. It's not like the road just magically disappeared. Yes, there's still more road over there, but however...
Well, this one disappears at the end of a cemetery.
Well, it stops at a cemetery. I mean, it's the end of the road. There's a cemetery there. It's like having a, you know...
Right.
Like living at the end of a cul-de-sac. Road. Yeah. But the other one where, like, they closed the road because it was unsafe to drive on, like, that's the one that kind of gets me, because it's like, I don't understand why that becomes a thing, because all the time they close roads to fix something, and then they reopen them. So, yes, the road didn't magically disappear because the sign is there. You know, the sign is just there to stop you from going any further.
Right.
Anyway. All right, so... The next legend is about a slaughterhouse. So, of course, a ghost town has to have a slaughterhouse.
Slaughterhouse, yes.
You will see ghostly faces.
This is painful.
You will see ghostly faces if you look into the windows of the slaughterhouse. Please do not, please do not trespass on the owner's property who owns the slaughterhouse. Okay. So the truth is, there never actually was an official slaughterhouse in the Boston Mills area. Remember, this is not an average town. It was a mill town. So the building that is called the Old Slaughterhouse sits next to Boston Cemetery and is actually part of an old duplex built for tenants from the neighboring mill. The old building sits next to a more modern home. The contrast of the two buildings accentuates the rundown appearance of the duplex. The duplex has been acknowledged for its historic significance and is part of the National Historical District. It stands as only one of two houses in the entire U.S. that the Park Service sold back to private ownership.
Oh, wow.
So it actually was never even a slaughterhouse. So now we're making up stories about things that weren't even things. Like, let's just make stuff up.
Right. It adds to the story.
Does it really?
Well, you know how everything gets passed down. It gets passed down from one person to the next, and then that story builds, and the next story builds, you know. I still want to go.
I want to go, too, but I want to, you know.
Road trip.
All right, so The Children of the Corn. You've seen that movie, I'm sure. That movie was actually filmed in Boston Town.
Yeah.
And supposedly, satanic props were left behind by the production crew and are now used by the local area Satanists or Satanists. And supposedly, the movie was, quote...
Wasn't that handy?
...was based on real-life events that took place in Helltown. That's not necessarily true, but that's what people say.
No.
So, the truth is that the original Children of the Corn, which was released in 1984, was filmed in Whiting, Iowa. Or Whiting, Iowa. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Sequel to the films were shot in various locations throughout California, neither of which is near Helltown, Ohio. In 1983, around the time that the original Children of the Corn was being filmed, MPS had already begun acquiring land for almost 9 years. Special permission from a Department of the Interior would have been required to film a movie in that area. So there's no truth to the statement that the film was inspired by actual events, or that they actually left anything behind for people to use. So the film was based on Stephen King's short story, the same name, that appears in a collection short story called Night Shift. And in both the original story and the film, the setting was Gatlin, Nebraska. Subsequent movies released were either set either within Gatlin or nearby cities, but never outside of Nebraska. So that one, sorry. Too much.
Nope.
I gotta admit, I've never actually seen The Children of the Corn.
What?
I've never seen it.
I'd like to discuss that with you, but I can't hear you half the time, so we won't discuss that right now.
All right, so last one, because we only have 2 minutes left, and then we gotta hand the mics over to Dark Sun Rising and put Bill out of his misery and take him out back behind the shed in Old Yeller. So, here we go. So, the ghostly AAA. The legend is that there's a crybaby bridge, and it's said that if you bring an extra set of keys, park on the bridge, turn your car off, lock the doors, and walk away with the keys sitting inside, you'll come back, the car will be covered in dust with little footprints all over it, the car will be running, but still locked. So apparently, according to this, either elves or fairies come and cover your car in dust, but lock your car and turn it on to waste your gas, I guess. I don't know why they would do that. That seems unnecessarily helpful because the car is still locked, so it's running, and you can't get to it. All right, so the truth of this one is that the particular legend incorporates some classic ghost-related urban legends, most notably a reference to a crybaby bridge and footprints on your car. Crybaby bridges can be found throughout the U.S., and Ohio's database of ghosts of Ohio contains references to at least 18 such bridges just in Ohio alone. Rumors of ghostly prints appearing on your car is a common element in this type of urban legend. In most cases, however, the prints are handprints. In this case, ghostly footprints is the only reference to ghostly footprints that we know of. Yeah, that's one of those common ones where, you know, supposedly some, you know, a crybaby bridge is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where, you know, a mother, either she died or was killed, she threw a child over the bridge, but you can always hear a crying baby and or a weeping mother, that kind of thing. And they like to mess with drivers and cars. So,
right.
Yeah, so there's many different
ones of that.
So there's a lot of legends and lore surrounding this area, and I think it generally all comes down to, with human nature, when we see an abandoned building, we have to put a story behind it. Plain and simple. There's no, rhyme or reason behind it. We just, building is abandoned, therefore it must have ghostly legends or something behind it. I don't know. So what do you think? Last thoughts?
I think it was a very type deal. It's not real, but it's a really cool story and makes people like me want to go.
So you think somebody just did it all so that we could start a tour company?
Sure, why not?
That would be really wicked awesome. Let me just buy up an abandoned town, spread around a lot of rumors about, you know, ghosts and stuff, and then create the Ghosts of Helltown tour and make a fortune. We'd be rich. And maybe we could fix this delay because it's really getting on my nerves.
Well, I ain't making no money doing what I'm doing. We're selling my body, so might as well do something.
All right. On that note, we're going to call it quits before Bill calls it quits. And we'll be back next week with something great to talk about. As always, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Bill.
And we'll see you in the shadows.